Head coach of the New England Patriots, Bill Belichick, is with us. Congratulations.
Thank you, Dale. Appreciate it. Jerry, Michael, how are you guys doing?
We're doing
great. Doing all right, Bill.
Let's get this out of the way right off the bat. The National Football League has confirmed that they were investigating whether footballs were deflated here last night during the course of the AFC Championship game. When did you learn of whatever was supposedly going on?
Yeah, I heard about it this morning, and obviously whatever we need to do to cooperate with them, we'll do.
So you're not deflating footballs, is that?
Can't imagine.
Are you overinflating them? Because that's another report that's out there. we just can't seem to find one that's 12.5 pounds per square inch.
Yeah, I really don't know what to say or know anything about what we're talking about here. So whatever it is, we'll cooperate with them best we can.
The way the game went yesterday with the footballs, overinflated, underinflated, whatever it was, but you were able to run the ball pretty consistently against the Colts. Was that the game plan all along, just as it's been against the Colts in previous games? It's just a good matchup when it comes to running against this team?
Well, I mean, it's always good to, you know, good to have balance in the offense. I thought last night that LeGarrette really ran well. But he made a lot of yards on his own on a number of occasions. Times he just made some great cuts and showed great balance. At other times he was able to run through tackles or make extra yards on his own after contact. So I think that certainly helped us. You know, we blocked well and picked up some yards, but he also picked up some yards on his own. And you know, three touchdowns, again, a red area is always critical. And to be able to get the ball in the end zone, which, you know, which he did three times, was huge for us. So, you know, it's a combination of, you know, some good blocking, some good running, and, you know, the score favored us, so we were able to be a little more patient with the running game maybe than at some other points, like the Baltimore game where you feel like you just got to get going.
I promise I'll have football questions, but right off the top, when you said we're on to Cincinnati, did you have any idea that that was going to become a thing? Like, there are comics who wait their whole lives to come up with a catchphrase that catches on and becomes part of the lexicon. And now half the league is imitating this, and then you pay tribute to it tonight, last night. Is it? Did you have any idea what you were creating there?
Well, it probably wouldn't have been a big a deal if I didn't say it 12 times or however many it was.
Repetition.
I couldn't think of anything else to say, and it was the same questions that I didn't want to answer. So, no, I didn't realize it at all. Of course not. I was just trying to move on to really what was important to us at that point. It was Cincinnati, not Kansas City, and what everybody thought was wrong.
You talked about it a bit last night, about the offensive line and how in practices you rotate guys in and out, all different positions, all different times. And I guess the end result is in games when you have to do that, there's no drop-off. There's no lack of continuity. Everybody just seems to fit seamlessly into whatever position you put them in.
All right. Well, Dale, you really have no choice. I mean, if you take, you know, seven linemen to the game, you have two backups for five positions. And then if you're using one of those guys, like we were last night, Cam Fleming as a tight end, then you're using all six linemen, and you really only have one backup. So it forces you by necessity to, you know, move guys a little bit so that, you know, who backs up the left tackle, who backs up the left guard, center, right guard, right tackle, and even the jumbo tight end. So it's really by necessity as much as anything, because we have to be ready for a different combination, potentially an unexpected combination to play. So we practice it.
You know, since you made that comment, we're on to Cincinnati.
Right.
You've won 12 of 13, the one loss being to Green Bay there by 5 points. Did you feel like...
And the Buffalo game.
Oh, well, the Buffalo. Okay, yeah. Buffalo. Well, you know, I kind of put that in a different category end of the year. But, okay, so meaningful games. But, you've lost one game that you were trying to win with your entire team. But would you say when you were at that point, we were all talking about it's a crisis, the offensive line is in shambles, they need to do this, they need to do that. Did you feel like significant changes need to be made? Were you truly on to Cincinnati at that point, or was there a meeting of the minds where you thought, okay, maybe we have to reassess what we have here, we have to make some adjustments? I mean, what was your mindset after that Kansas City game?
I'd say mainly that we needed to just play better and coach better. We just needed everybody to do a little bit better job. I thought that the halftime of the Kansas City game was a little bit of a turning point for us in the season, in that we were behind, and we certainly didn't come back to make a game of it. But I thought that we really competed hard, and I thought that was a good sign, because we went down there, we had a lot of good expectations. You know, it was a Monday night game, everybody was, you know, ready to go out there and play well against a really good football team. We didn't. We were down at the half. We're on the road. The place was rocking. But I thought that we really tried to compete and play hard for all 60 minutes, even at the very end where we had no chance to win. And I think that was a good sign from our team that we did that. Not that we played well, but we played hard. And I think at that point we all kind of realized if we can just play well and combine that with our physical and mental toughness, that we could be okay. And we certainly saw a good example of that in the Cincinnati game the following week. It was a short week. We didn't have time to, sit around and feel sorry for ourselves, that we were on to Cincinnati in a hurry and we had a lot of ground to make up. They were 3-0 coming in here, and the guys really responded, and we played a good football game. So I'd say that's pretty much what happened.
You know, guys who have played for you before have all talked about how you don't only coach the players, but you coach the coaches. Is that would you say it's the same as coaching players? Is it easier? Are coaches just by nature looking for things to improve, so it's easier for them to hear the message that they need to get better? I mean, how do you compare coaching the coaches compared to coaching Tom Brady or Chandler Jones?
It's a really interesting question, but I'd say the big thing is, the most important thing for all of us is to just be on the same page as a football team, is to have everybody on the same page. So when you have, a coaching staff of, 14, 15 assistant coaches, part of the challenge as a head coach is to have all the coaches on the same page so that we're not giving cross messages or we're not emphasizing things that somebody else is de-emphasizing. And I'm not saying intentionally, just sometimes it comes out that way. So I think part of my job as a head coach is to try to just get everybody on the same page, whatever page that is. And I take a lot of input from them. I'm not saying that. A lot of times they're the ones that suggest it, of like, we need to do more of this, or we need to approach it that way. And I take that input and then, regurgitate it as to, this is a team goal for us. This is what we have to do. So, I think it's always hard to, I've always had trouble with really big staffs, just too many people to manage to try to get a consistent message. So we've always tended to be a little bit on the smaller side relative to other teams in the league, I'd say. And part of that is just an effort to get a consistent message. So I don't think it's telling the coaches how to coach. I think it's just the question of getting all of us on the same page, and that's the coaching staff, the players, the leadership on the team, the younger or newer players on the team that may not be quite as familiar with certain things. Just trying to get everybody together and, pulling a rope in the same direction. So that's kind of all part of it.
Beginning of the year, you talked about Jerod Mayo and how important he is to this team. And when you lose him for the year, now, you're on the way to the Super Bowl. You just gave up 7 points to the top passing offense in the league. So how did you make up for his loss? And is this kind of how football is going? It's going to be this two linebacker, five defensive back type of sets. Is that going to be the new norm?
All right. A lot of good points in there, Jerry. I mean, first of all, Jerod, is a great football player for us, and he means a lot to our team. He's, been a captain since his second year in the league. He's very well respected in the locker room. And, your phrase, kind of, we lost him, but in my mind, we never lost Jerod Mayo. He's not able to play, but what he gives us on a daily basis in the locker room, and the fact that, he was clear to even be on the field in the last couple of weeks, so that there's no risk of him not being able to get out of the way or play or something like that. But he's been on the field with us the last couple of weeks. I think he's done a great job on the sideline with his presence and you know, his communication with the players and experience and the coaches for that matter. But if he was playing, then I'm sure that, you know, Jamie would still play and High would play and Drod would play and we'd find some way to utilize our best players. But that wasn't the case, so that didn't really come about. Is the league going to a two linebacker, five defensive back defense? Well, yes, it already has. I mean, when you look at the stats, there's only, just a small handful of teams that are playing less than five defensive backs 50% of the time. You know, the Jets this year played the fewest five defensive backs in the league, but I think that was because they had a lot of confidence in their front seven and the talent there, and they had a lot of injuries in the secondary because a couple of years ago they were one of the teams that played the most defensive backs. So, most teams are playing over 50% of nickel defense. We're one of those teams. We're on the high end, you know, and a part of that's we've been ahead and we've been playing more of that in the second half and situationally and so forth. But again, even some of the teams that aren't ahead are still over 50% nickel. So is that the NFL defense now? I mean, I think arguably when you put up what your defense is, you know, if you don't put that up first, you got to put it up second. You got to be aware of it because everybody's in it.
Nothing's more important than scoring the 6 points, and yet I thought you had a touchdown last night that was more than 6 points. The unmitigated joy I saw in your offensive linemen when Nate Solder dove into the end zone. I've never seen a group of large human beings happier than those guys were last night.
Yeah, it was quite a play. It was, kind of similar to the play that they scored on us with down on the goal line in the first game up there. And, we had a good play fake, and, Nate really banged the outside linebacker and came off. Tom made a good throw to get it over. I think it was Newsom's arms. And then Nate carried that ball like a newborn baby. I mean, he had two hands and had it cradled. You couldn't have got that out of there with a crowbar. But Nate runs well. He's an athletic guy, and he saw that goal line. It looked like he smelled pay dirt and, dove over, kind of like Rob did in the first Indianapolis game, where he just dove for the end zone from about 3 yards away. So, I think our Nate's a great guy. Nobody works harder than Nate. Nobody's more unselfish than Nate. And we know week after week, Nate's got one of the toughest jobs in the league in pro football is to play out there at left tackle, block a good pass rusher, and we're a team that throws the ball a decent amount. So, he's a great player. He works really hard, very unselfish, dependable, and you love to see that play happen for a guy like that. It was you're right. It only counted for 6 points, but it may have felt like a little bit more than that.
Yeah, I love when you guys make it easy. That was the coach's drive of the week, brought to you by the all-new 2015 Mercedes-Benz C-Class, raising the bar yet again as the benchmark in luxury sports sedans. Visit mbusa.com. or your nearest dealer today. I do want to ask you about just preparing for the Seahawks, and you have some extra time because they don't play in your conference and you haven't played them in a couple of years. Your team's different. Their team is different. Do you feel like you need every single bit of that time to get ready for this team?
Well, I think we definitely need some time. We definitely need some time. And I think what we don't want to do is rush into our preparation and get through the week or get down to Phoenix and then realize, instead of doing this, we wanted to do that, or instead of doing this, this actually looks a little bit better. I think we want to try to make sure that we get everything measured properly before we start cutting and start cutting the material and trying to make something. We really need to know what exactly we're doing, be really familiar with the team, how we think they'll play us. Make sure that we do the things that we need to do to win the game, and not sometimes you just get caught up in plays or get caught up in doing something that looks good or doesn't look good. But I think we just got to make sure we have a good plan against them on a complementary basis, offense, defense, special teams. And they're very challenging. They do a lot of things well. I mean, obviously, defending champions have had another great year, and they've showed they can play from ahead, they've showed they can come from behind, they can run the ball, they can pass it, they can stop the run, they can play pass, and they're strong in the kicking game. Those two plays in the kicking game yesterday were arguably the difference in their season. So, they're good in everything. We're going to have to be too.
All right, I have to ask you, did you see the guy who got the Bill Belichick tattoo?
No.
Okay. It's a work of art.
It's on his forearm, and it's you wearing a hoodie, and it says, I believe, Belichick yourself before you wreck yourself. Like
a little hip-hop reference.
Yeah.
Yeah. What goes on in your mind when people are burning you into their flesh with ink? Permanent ink.
That's scary. I don't know.
I'm going to show it to you before
right.
you leave.
I missed that one.
It's a great tattoo, I think.
Oh, it's great. It's great artwork. Yeah, it's not some prison tat. I mean, it's legit.
You are our authority on prison tats, too, I guess. Hey, I do want to ask you about one particular thing about your team. If I had to use a single word to describe your football team this year, it might be tough. This is a tough team, mentally and physically. Plays the game tough. Acts the right way playing the game. Is that a fair assessment of one of the key words for your team this year?
I think that is a key word on our team, absolutely. And it's, you know, it's a tough place to play. It's a tough place to play. We demand a lot out of ourselves, our coaches, our players. We don't accept just an average performance or not doing our best. We don't always do things well. We don't always do them right, but we always try to do them hard and try to do them with, you know, great effort. And it takes a lot of toughness to do that day after day, mentally and physically, when you don't feel good or when you're banged up or it's late in the season or things are going against you. It's sometimes it's hard to, you know, to rally and compete at a high level, but it takes toughness to do that. And I think our team's shown that we have it. And we're going to get a huge test coming up. So, we might have to take it up a notch higher. But, you know, I like the toughness of this team.
What was your motivation for allowing Tom Brady to have a moment where he could come out of the game? Garoppolo came in, the crowd went crazy for Brady. What were you thinking with that one?
That Tom deserved it. I mean, nobody's meant more to this football team than Tom has over the last 15 years. And, you know, to have a 38-point win in the AFC Championship game against a, you know, great team like the Colts, and for Tom to, I mean, you know, Tom's our leader. Tom's, you know, the offense pretty much has run through him for, you know, well over a decade now. You know, this is our last chance this year for, you know, to give him that kind of recognition at home, and I just thought he deserved it.
All set?
Yeah.
I didn't know if you had your tattoo photo you wanted to show him.
Oh, yeah. No, I have. I don't know if it's going to make for great radio, but here, this is it. Enjoy.
Play-by-play. This is Bill Belichick looking at the tattoo in question.
Speaking of tough, that's tough. Whoever did that.
I think in some way this is bigger than having a statue made of yourself. Like, I don't know how many Bobby Orr tattoos there are out there, but
there might be a few.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on the win. Best of luck in Arizona. You got one more game, and you're on to Seattle now, as you like to say.
All right. Thanks, Dale. Michael.
Great
thank you.
You.